Blog Talk Radio.
Now, if things was jiggy as all that, I wouldn't have to be here, now would I?
Okay.
Now, like I said, bring her on in here. Come on.
I'm so glad you're here, Mama.
I'm here, Mama.
I'm safe.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westcityworld1.com.
Wow. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you heard the clip, I guess you kind of have an idea of the programming for tonight. The topic is a sensitive topic, but it's going to be a good conversation. I am glad to be with you on this evening, myself and Brother Dennis. And this is the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis, and we are truly humbled and grateful that you decided to join us tonight. And we are looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have, and we pray that God will provide some type of knowledge and understanding and wisdom on in our conversation that somebody who is dealing with in-laws, you know, in order to have an in-law, that must mean you're married. So we're looking for somebody who may be struggling with how to deal with in-laws in their relationship, in their marriage, to benefit from the conversation on tonight. The Bible says, "My people perish from a lack of knowledge," and we know that that's a lack of knowledge of who God is and who He is to His people. And so we look to in anything that we do, when we're looking for help, we know that we can go to God for help, and He will be there for us. The Bible says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And so we're excited about the program on tonight, about the broadcast. We're excited about the topic. And we know as we go through life, we're going to deal with different issues that come up, different storms that come up, in particular and especially in relationships. And so tonight we've decided to look in on the relationship that exists between married couples and their in-laws. Like always, we look forward to your comments and feedback, and we hope you join us live. All you have to do is call 347-838-9106 for those that are listening over the internet, and then you will be prompted to press the number 1. When you press the number 1, we'll be able to bring you into the conversation on tonight. Now, you all know that I'm never by myself when I'm on Blog Talk Radio. My brother, Brother Dennis, is with me. And so, Brother Dennis, are you there? Okay. His phone might be muted, but
yeah, I'm here. What's going
praise
on?
Praise God. Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. I was just letting the people know, man, that we're going to carry them through. It's almost like being on a Greyhound bus. I don't know if anybody ever rode Greyhound, but you're nervous when it's only one bus driver driving you a long way. But when you got two bus drivers, you feel more comfortable and you feel like you're going to get to the end of your journey safe and sound. Right. And so you got two bus drivers here. And we promise to get you there on time. And along the way, kind of help you out on some information and some knowledge. So I'm excited. What about you, Brother Dennis?
Oh yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm waiting on you to carry it on. Where the first stop is gonna go to?
That's what I'm talking about. The first stop. Well, the first stop is we welcome the people into the broadcast. Now we want to, you know, I see that people are calling in already. So we're going to take a moment. We're going to take a quick break and kind of see, get the names of those that are have called in already, and so we can have them prepped and ready for the roundtable. Before then, we're going to get into a quick commentary. Let's see what the Bible can say that will help us with this topic of in-laws. And so we'll get a quick biblical reference to this topic. And then we'll have our round table. We're going to get to the round table early because what happens is we wind up running out of time. So since the people are with us, we're going to get to them early. So I'm going to take a quick commercial, if that's okay with you, Brother Dennis. And then when we come back, I'm going to give a quick commentary. And then we're going to get to the calls. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And we're talking about, for those that are listening, we're talking about the in-laws. Who are you really married to? In-laws can be a tremendous source of support. We all know that, and closeness. However, they can also be a major problem in a marital relationship. And so the question is, can in-law support become a tool to control the direction of a marriage? Are couples making decisions based on external voices, in-laws, that may have a hidden agenda? Is unity possible for all involved? So it's some serious questions. You know, are in-laws trying to give you their support? You know, I watch the kid. You know, I go to the grocery store for you. I'll do this, that, and the other just to kind of get inside of your marriage and control the direction. Or are couples making decisions? You know, you got in-laws whispering in their ear, calling them on the phone, saying this, that, and the other, and they have a hidden agenda. Or is unity even possible? You know, when you get married, are you really marrying the other family too? You know, can everybody get along? So we want to look at this. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to have a quick commentary on the topic tonight, and then we're going to get right to the call. So those that are with us right now, just bear with us, and we'll get to you in the conversation.
Oh, yeah. I let you know that I see the
yeah. All right, that was India Ari. I see the God in you. And welcome back to the Relationship Hour. We just played a clip that kind of gives us the foundation of our conversation on tonight. And so what I want to do is, for those that probably did not hear the conversation,
okay. I think basically what it was, Pastor Mo was saying that what he's going to do is he's going to play that clip so we can kind of get a feel for what's going on here because we're talking about the in-laws. Who are you really married to? You know, and basically just going to give a little bit about it until he clicks back in. I'm just talking about what's going on as far as the in-laws, you know, that people have those you know, that side of the family to where it's the mother probably is a little bit more dominant, acting like the wife and the daughter and the mama all at the same time, and don't give the other side enough chance to be that person because either A, that child, you know how it is with the parents. A person is never good enough for their child, to that point to where it's even with the mothers sometimes, and I'm just doing the mothers because you know I'm a male, the mothers sometimes they're a little bit more overly aggressive with the relationship, and it kind of casts out the husband or the boyfriend. And we go from there and whatnot. So I know, Pastor Mo, I know you said you was going to go in and play that clip. I'll just give the audience a little bit of an idea for what this clip is, what to look out for on it.
Yeah, and you know what, Brother Dennis? What happened was it kicked me out. The system kicked me out, so I'm just getting back on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't really get a chance to hear what you were saying.
No, I was just giving them the idea of the clip far as what, because I know you had played it earlier. So
right.
I don't know if you was in the process of playing it again for everybody, for the audience that just got here. I don't
right.
know if that's what you was about to do, but I was just giving them an idea of far as, you know, how that mother, and I'm just saying it because I'm a male, how mm-hmm. that mother is a little bit over-aggressive. You know how they have that... That cage of, you know, nobody's never good enough for my child. They won't get them a chance to, you know, be that perfect person towards, you know, to take the throne, you know. So that's what I was giving some of the people a couple of, you know, a little idea to look out for what's going to happen on this clip.
Okay. And I'm glad you kind of gave it a prep because this is a topic that I want to say if you're married, but even if you're not married and you're in a deep relationship with somebody and you're considering getting engaged or getting married, outside entities, outside forces from your own family or the other person's family can sometimes determine the direction of your relationship, what go on in your household. And so this clip is an example of what can happen to help us in the conversation tonight when those outside forces kind of come into your home and how it can play a part in, you know, whichever way a relationship goes. So I appreciate you kind of setting it up for me. I'm going to go ahead and play the clip right quick, and then when we come back off of the clip, I'm going to go into kind of the commentary, and then we'll take a break and get right to the calls, kind of get back on track here. So I appreciate you filling in the space for me, Brother Dennis.
Oh, anytime.
co-host asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people? During Clarice's weeks in hospital, we asked that question a lot. I tried to be there for her in every way a husband should, but it just seemed like it was never enough. And when we came home, reality and everything had changed began to sink in.
We're gonna get you through this, okay?
We are the ones with the leg twisted up like a damn pretzel.
Got everything in the house already taken care of for you, okay? Got about a week's worth of meals in the freezer. When we get inside, you all right?
Yeah.
And when we get inside, I'm gonna warm you up a hot little plate. Get some food. I got you.
I've moved in.
Mama.
Hey, baby. Well, don't just stand there. Bring on in.
Look, I appreciate your concern and all that, but I got this, okay? I'm capable of taking care of my wife, and I got you, baby, okay?
Dave, I figured I was going to have to break this down to you. Now, if things were as jiggy as all that, I wouldn't have to be here now, would I?
Okay.
Now, like I said, bring her on in here. Come on.
I'm so glad you're here, Mama.
I'm here, Mama.
See that? That's what I'm talking about. I got it. Be careful with her. Come on. I got it. Wow. Yeah, so as you can tell by the clip, we're in for a good conversation on tonight. Who are you really married to? Are you married to the person that you went out and however you met this person, be it at a sports venue, be it at a club, be it at church, be it at school, be it if it was a childhood sweetheart, however you met the person that you decided that you're going to spend some time with, and you all decided to get married or you all decided to be engaged, and you know, were you engaged to that person? Were you married to that person? Or once you guys said, I do, now you have also said, I do want other people to come into our relationship to either make it better or to make it worse. And so when it said for better or worse, I know it wasn't talking about other people making our relationships for better or for worse. So who are you really married to? You know, in that clip, that was the mother-in-law coming to the aid of her daughter, the mother-in-law of the husband, which the wife was her daughter. And so she had been in an accident. And on the way from the hospital, the mama then moved in and met them at the door as he was trying to bring his wife in. You heard the conversation that took place after that. And so that kind of prompted me to say, well, man, can a man be a man in his house when the in-laws are part of the equation? Can you truly be a man in your own house when the in-laws are a part of the equation? Or can a woman be a woman in her house? We all know the relationship between a mother and a son can be deep. And so can a woman be truly the woman of her house if the mother of that son is overimposing or has decided to make her claim, if you will, because she is the mother of the son, and the son, the man, is supposed to be the head of the house, so that gives her some type of authority in the woman's house. So these are just interesting questions that will probably come up or could possibly come up out of this discussion that we're going to have on tonight. And so it's always good what we try to do at the top part of the program is to look toward the Word of God to see if we can get at the top of the program some help with the question. And then at the bottom of the program, we get into our round table. We just talk about the topic, and we're free to give our commentary on it and how we feel about it, because some of us may have experienced this and quite frankly, probably don't know how or didn't know how we could have dealt with it, and we acted off of emotion, which did more damage than good, because when love is involved, it's not a simple thing as saying get out or stop calling or we don't want you around the family. Or, you know, when love is involved, you got to have a different way of handling situations. And so we want to look at two verses on tonight, two verses in the same book, the book of Ephesians, in the same chapter, chapter 5. We want to look at verse 22. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And then we want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I'm going to read those verses. It says, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, what does these two verses have to do with the in-laws and who are you really married to? Well, let me explain. In every relationship, in every marriage, in every engagement, there should be a foundation to the relationship. And when I say a foundation, what is the relationship built on? Some people may say love. Well, you know, love is a part of the foundation. Okay, that's good. But you also need more than love. You need as much foundation as possible, because it's possible to love one another, but still storms come up within the relationship. So when those storms come up, when those difficulties come up, when those trials and tribulations come up, even though you love each other, what are some of the other foundational pieces to your relationship, to our relationship, that help us make it through the storm? Our in-laws can be a part of a storm in our relationship. Our in-laws can be a part of difficulties or arguments that we may experience in our relationships. Even though we love one another, what other parts of the foundation can we lean on? Can we depend on to help us through difficult times and difficult situations? And so we're going to look toward the Word of God to be a part of our relationship foundation to strengthen love that much more. And so these two verses, talking specifically toward marriage, we want to see how these two verses can strengthen us, can add to our foundation of love that will help us make it through storms in our marriage, to help us make it through difficulties that our in-laws may bring to our relationship or to our marriages. So the first verse says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. What I want to do is kind of break that verse down. Just one verse. We want to break it down. And breaking that verse down, the first word that Paul lists here is wives, woman. He's saying women who are married, women who are married. The next words he says is, or the next word he says after he says wives, meaning women, he says submit. Now, let me just stop right there. Some people may get that word wrong. Some people may think that word is saying obey or be weak or yield or be blind in your submission. No, that word is saying give yourself. And so that's an actual position of strength. So when he says, women, give yourself, he is saying that because you have an option. you don't have to give yourself. You don't have to submit. You don't have to yield to your husband. But the plea is, wives, submit, meaning wives, give yourself, you know, willingly, if you will, to your own husbands, meaning to him. So women, a woman, give yourself, a married woman, give yourself to him. And that's a total position of strength, because you can decide whether you want to do it or not. So this verse is not putting a woman in a weak stance. This verse is appealing to a mature woman to, even though you have the ability to not yield, to not give yourself, he is appealing to you to give yourself to your husband, to him, comma, as to the Lord God. And so what he is saying is, just as you give yourself, or you submit yourself, or you should submit yourself to God, you should come in that same posture and give yourself to your husband. And he is not saying that your husband has replaced God. No, we know Jesus said you can love nothing or nobody more than you love God. And so he's not saying put your husband in the place of God. He is saying in the same manner that you go to God. And when we go to God, we should be going to him, communicating him. We should be going to him praising him and worshiping him as our heavenly Father. And so there's a way we do that. For women and their husbands to submit or give themselves to their own husbands does not mean that you are a slave to him. That's saying that you are in agreement, amen, you are in agreement that you recognize if he is following God, that you will follow him as he demonstrates how to worship God, how to praise God, how to communicate with God. He is showing you how to communicate with him. And I think a lot of times we, in our relationships, when we fall or we believe that women should be at our footstool all the time and at our footstool looking up to us. No, no, that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying we are equal in grace. The man and the woman is equal in grace. And he is saying that for a woman, she should, as if she was submitting herself to God, she should submit herself willingly to her husband. Now, this is not to somebody that's treating her bad. This is not to somebody that's doing her bad, that, you know, if abuse is in the relationship. No, no, no. This is not blind submission. This is a submission of a man who is following after God. And so a woman that sees a man who is following after God, should see the example of how he submit himself to God, and she should want to. She should willingly submit herself to him as he submits himself to God. And in the same vein, in verse 25, he addresses the men. He says, husbands, which are the men. So the wives are the women, and the husbands are the men. That's constituting marriage. The wives are the women, and the husbands are the men. That's marriage. And so in verse 25, he says, husbands, man, he says, love your wives. He says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, there's a lot in that verse. It's always more on the man, and that's not something to be upset about. That's something to be glad about, that God is putting more on you, on us, on how we treat our women for a particular reason. And so Paul starts out and says, husbands, he's addressing the men. He says, love. Husbands, love. He's saying, husbands, comma, love. Husbands, love. How do we love? If you love, you're embracing. You are you are considerate, you are kind, you're selfless, not selfish. And so he's saying, husbands, love, embrace. And I don't know if you ever embraced somebody and you got them close to you. When you embrace somebody and they're very close to you, it ain't no room for nobody to get in the middle. And so he's saying, love your own wives. And so that's that ownership piece again of own wives. And so he's telling the men, he says, men, embrace your woman. Embrace your woman, not embrace other people's woman or embrace women in general, plural. He's making that singular. He says, embrace your woman, embrace your wives, your wife. Now listen to the level of importance that Paul puts on men loving their wives, men embracing their own wives. Listen to the level of importance. It says, just as, okay, stop right there. He is making the connection when he uses the words just as. He is saying you should love your wife, men, love your woman, just as connecting Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. We know that the song says there's no better love than a man who would lay down his life for a friend. And so Jesus laid down his life for those of us that are believers, for you and I. Why? Because of our sins. And so God wanted to claim us back. He wanted to redeem us. And so he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary's cross, that our sins may be forgiven, that one day we could be reunited with God. This is a serious thing. This is a very important thing, and for believers, it's the most important thing, because this life is going to go, and so we want to go somewhere, and Jesus gave us that right to the tree of life. And so Paul is saying, husbands, your responsibility is to love your wife just like Christ died for the church. So do you see the embracing there? Jesus embraced us. When he came, he embraced the people. He healed the people. He taught the people. He did miracles for the people. And this is our role in the household. We have to be a healer for our wives. If our wife is sick, how dare us call over somebody to help our wife get better? If our wife is going through a problem, we should go to the Word of God, because we already going to God. We already praying to God. We should be anyway. We already in communion with God. We already in God's Word. We already worshiping God as much as possible. And so we should be able to help her through. But the disconnect comes. The disconnect comes is when, A, if there is no sign of God in the household outside of a memorization of scripture or a couple of Bibles laying across the tables in the house, if there is no evidence that God is existing not only in the house, but God is existing in the husband, then the wife does not have an example. If she is not in true communion with God, and she's looking for a leader. See, I think we want to be men, but we don't want to be men with substance. Coming in the house screaming and yelling, and because your voice is deep, don't make things happen in the household. Somebody said you can attract more bees with honey than you can with whatever else. I can't even know the whole words on that. But what about the sweet smell of the Word of God? What about the example of a man following after God's own heart? And so we know over history, we know over time, that when you want to look for attraction in a person, what better attraction, what better intimacy to find when you got a woman and a man in the same household following after God, seeking after God? That's an intimate thing. That's a thing that you can get excited about every day. But when our chemistry is off, when our chemistry is off because one don't know how to seek God, or one ain't trying to seek God, or one ain't even believing in God, then the foundation weak. And so every time the wind blow, when you ain't standing on a good foundation, it's blowing you from east to west. From east to west. And so if you got a strong foundation, every time the wind blow, you're not too apt to move so easily. You got something on the inside of you. You got an example of a man that's a rock for your family, for your household. And it don't matter if it's an in-law. It don't matter if it's a friend. It don't matter if it's a coworker. It doesn't matter if it's the devil himself showing up in your household. If you're standing on a solid foundation, it'll be hard to move you off the word of God. It'll be hard to move us away from the blessing that God has given us. The woman is the most beautiful thing in the world for man. The woman is a man's weakness. A man can overcome a lot of things, but his weakness is a woman. And it was like that from the garden, and it exists today. And so if the weakness of a man is a woman, that means that on the opposite side, she can be strength for a man. There's nothing better in the world to come home and have a woman that supports her man. I mean, that's a good feeling. It's almost like utopia when a woman supports her man. And when he come home, she's loving. She has a kind spirit, a kind heart. She has kind words. She's not selfish. She's thinking about how his day was. And then the exact opposite happens with the man. He's so full with love. He's asking her the same thing. He said, "Oh, baby, my day was fine. How was your day? What did they do this to you at the job? Or, you know, let's pray about that. Let's make sure we, you know, let me cook tonight. Or let me do this. Let me rub your feet." And see, when we look at, and I'm through with the commentary, there's one thing about washing feet. That's the most humble or when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he was giving an example of what they would have to do for God's people when he left the earth. And so he was teaching them about humility. And when you humble yourself, it's power in humility. When you can humble yourself and wash feet, this is a tip. I'm going to give it to you for free. Just one day surprise your mate. You could have been argued for 6 days straight. On the seventh day, when they come in, just have some water right there and tell them to soak their feet. All of that will go away. It won't go away permanently, but it'll go away for a short period of time that you can allow love to creep in. You can allow peace to creep in. You can allow joy to creep in. And out of that foundation, you can build a house. And you can build a house of love, a house of joy, and a house of peace. And so I don't want nobody to get off the line and read that verse where Paul says, wives submit, that he is telling you to do that blindly. Just follow anybody who claimed to be a man. No, he is saying to believers that if this man is following after God, if he is a godly man and he is providing the example to you, why not submit to somebody like that? Why not give yourself? And that word submit is a strength word, because you have to do it. You have to, you would want to do it. You would want to. I don't know if you ever gave to charity, and something in your spirit moved to say, I want to give these shoes to them, or I want to give this $20 to them, or and you feel good about it. That's the same spirit that Paul is talking about here. You should want to, you know, I want to do this for him. That'll make me feel good just for doing that for him. And not whether he appreciated it or not, but I know I'm doing or I'm trying to offer myself to be a part of the solution and remove myself from being any part or having any part of being the problem. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the commentary. We're going to take a quick break. After that, we're coming back. We got plenty of calls on tonight. We're talking about in-laws. We're talking about, you know, in-laws can be very helpful, but in-laws also can cause problems in marriages or in relationships. Can in-law support become a tool to control the direction of a marriage? You know, they supporting you or they doing for you just to gain some advantage. Or are we making decisions? Are married couples making decisions simply based on the voices that exist outside of our house or outside of the household? And those voices have hidden agendas. You know, one of the things that we have to guard ourselves from is listening to somebody who have been through terrible relationships, terrible problems, and then they try to give you advice in your relationship. That we have to be careful. We got to be prayed up, and we have to build up our foundation. That's not building a foundation. That's looking for, some people say, a pity party. When we build our foundation, the foundation got to be built off of love and the word of God. And we know God is love. And so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, Brother Dennis and I, engage in this conversation. Then we're going to bring in our panel and those who want to make a comment tonight. We got a lot of people in queue tonight, and so we want to try to get to as many people as possible. I think I've accomplished the goal of getting out of the commentary a little early tonight so we can get to these calls. So after this break, we'll be right back.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Relationship Hour, Pastor Moore and Brother Dennis. We're going to get to the phones here. Because this is a sensitive topic. What's at stake tonight, and when we're talking about in-laws and when we're talking about our relationships, we have to bring up respect, and that go both ways. We have to bring up loyalty. We have to bring up feelings. We have to bring up boundaries. We have to bring up just saying, knowing how to say no. We have to bring up priority. And we have to bring up love. And in the conversation, figure out how can we accomplish certain things when it deals with our loved ones, being even the ones that we're married to, and also our families. You know, this is very serious. It's not a cookie cutter or easy as 1, 2, 3. You know, some of these issues are difficult, and especially difficult if we don't have a foundation. And so we're going to get to the phones here. Let me see if I know Brother Dennis, see if he back with me here. Brother Dennis, you all with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
So what do you think about that? You know, what are there any advantages? Let me just ask you that. Are there any advantages or benefits to having in-laws be kind of close to your marriage?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you it's like a second family, you know, in a sense. Sometimes you could go to the in-laws better than you could go to your own family.
Wow.
You could talk to them about things that you know that you can talk to your personal, you know, family members about it, and they could, you know, and they probably won't have a no judge zone, but they might have some good ideas, you know, that they could share, you know, with you. But then again, it all depends on where you stand, you know. Like they could, let's say, you and your significant other brought the in-laws into the relationship, or they brought my family into the relationship. And the way that they bring them into the relationship, it could be all about nothing but negativity. She could be running to us out of the family saying that how he ain't nothing, he ain't this, he ain't that. And next thing you know, they looking up like upside their head, puzzled, like, why is you with him? You know, if he's this so-called this type of person. So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it got it ups and downs with it. That's how
okay.
I look at it.
You hit two good points, man. I didn't even think about that. You know, most people say that the benefits of the in-laws is when you can't do, like take care of the baby, or if something happened, you need somebody to go grocery shopping. You know, I'm thinking more materialistic, but you hit a point that sometimes your in-laws, you could talk to them about some things better than you could talk to your own mother and father. Wow, that's very interesting. Okay. Well, Brother Dims, what do you think? Should we go ahead and get the callers in? We got a full slate tonight.
Yes, please take the calls. Please take some calls. I'm tired of them texting me.
Okay.
Is he going to let me talk?
Okay, we're going to bring in, let's see here. I got to bring this guy in. He is always on the show. Brother Gerard, you with us?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. Listen, I want to bring in some other people, man, so just hold tight with me. But I still got your mic live.
Okay.
Brother LB, you on with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hold tight for me. I got your mic live. Sister Trina, you on with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we got this is going to be our panel, and we're going to, as the callers come in, we're going to take those calls also. But I just want to throw that out to you guys. Brother Dennis brought up the point that having in-laws is not always a bad thing. And they can offer more than just going to the store, keeping the baby, watching the baby. But every now and then, they may have better ideas than our own family. And it might just be easier to talk to them, you know, because they treat you a little bit better. So, Brother Gerard, then Brother LB, and then Sister Trina, go ahead and give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I say this. He did hit the nail on the head as far as they may offer something that is a little bit better because, and it depends on the circumstances. Some in-laws may have that blueprint that you're looking for that you can look at from time to time with your relationship and go off of it and say, okay, well, if this worked for them, this might work for me. Give you prime example. A relationship always works with communication. But what happens when the verbal communication breaks down? When the verbal communication breaks down, what other form can I communicate with my partner in order for us to get through this storm? So we may have started off writing love letters to each other at one point in time in life when we were younger. That may be another form of communication with your spouse because you're not able to verbally or say it to that person. So the in-laws may give you this advice that maybe your immediate family was not able to give to you because their blueprint is not like the in-laws' blueprint where they, you know, the in-laws may have been together for 40 or 50-something years, so they're able to give you better insight versus, you know. But now the reverse side of it is their blueprint may be messed up. They may be part of a generational curse where each generation is repeating the same cycle. And by them being in the generational curse, they have an effect to try to affect your relationship so you can pass it on from generation to generation to keep things going as well. So it's like a double-edged sword. Hello?
Okay. So it depends on the situation.
Correct.
Okay. Now let me just say this. This is also taken into account because you have some in-laws that before you got married to this person, you know that they had a temper. You know that they had, you know, they were you know, the type of personality that they is, you know, they're a troublemaker, they nosy, busybody. Does that matter? Man, let me put this out to Gerard. Does that matter in your decision to marry this person when you already know how their mom and daddy is?
Well, you can't control how their parents are. Unfortunately, if that was the case, mother-in-laws and father-in-laws would be the best ever. But, you know, that's not who you're marrying. So you got to keep that in mind. You can really get along with your significant other's parents, and it can be the issue can be with the who you wish that you it could be something you overlooked, and you can wish that your significant other had what your mother-in-law had. You know what I'm saying? So it can go either way, but I think that it's all what is most important when you marry somebody. You got to make sure that that's what you who you want to be with. They got to be your best friend and your lover, you know, at the same time, not separately. So regardless of the circumstances of how it perceives of how the mother-in-law and father-in-law is, you won't have to worry about, you know, they turning on you, because you can always say, you know what, you know, this is not working out, you know. And you just got to, you know, love them from a distance, you know, because you know, that's not who you signed up to spend the rest of your life with. So in essence, it's answering your question, is that it can be a little bit of a strain, especially when, you add to your family, you're having children, and you want them to be involved, and every time they're around, it's a dark cloud, or you're not sure if they feel this is really genuinely liking you or supporting what you're doing in your home, you know, or whispering and pointing the finger, or, you know, two-faced things going on when you're not around. You know, that can be very frustrating. So, but you just gotta use this, stay prayed up. And certain storms ain't your storm in the fight. You pray about it. You let God handle it. Fix it. You know, this, as long as you and your wife or you and your husband, they're on the same page, nobody can get in there. You know what I'm saying? Because when you hear Rick and Monroe, and you and your wife or you know, or husband will recognize it and say, uh-oh, that's mess. You know, and y'all can smell it together, and then you can stop it. And then once you got that type of bond, you got that full court press on your house, then you got to worry about what people say or he say, she say. But if you don't have that, and she, you know, the mother pulls the daughter to the side, and you come back, and you do wonder how all these demons get in there, you know. So you got to be on one day and one sound with your wife or your husband.
Okay, and so let me get a female's perspective on this, Sister Trina. Now, usually or typically, you don't hear a lot when it comes to a father-in-law. You it's been my experience, let me say this, it's been my experience that you hear positive things about father-in-laws. And so I want to ask you, has that been your, you know, what do you think? Is it more, you know, are father-in-laws kind of on the same level when it comes to, in a negative aspect, the same level as mother-in-laws? Or you get what I'm trying to say right there?
Yeah, I do. Well, yes, it is. It's some father-in-laws that can be nosy and do not know how to mind their own business and feel like they can run their household and yours as well. But it takes the woman and the man both to be strong enough to say, hey, this is our household, and this household will be run by us and us only. Then that way they would tell the mother-in-law, sister-in-law, whoever, stay out. They don't like it, too bad. But now this man is cleaved to his wife and she's cleaved to her husband, and it's all about those two. And I feel like if a man and a woman have problems, they should never go to their family about their problems. If anything, they need to pray that God sends them someone that they can talk to, because, of course, when you're married, you're going to need someone to talk to. Me, myself, I've been married before for 10 years, and my ex-husband's downfall was his aunt. The whole entire family, rather, listened to the aunt. They was afraid of her. They was afraid because, you know, the whole family was afraid of her for odd reasons. I'm not even going to go into that, but they was afraid of her. So no matter what she said, that's what he went by. If she said I was doing whatever, that's what, you know, he accepted. So that after dealing with that, I had to just say, okay, you know what? You marry your family, I'm done with you, because I'm not going to deal with that nonsense. And so being married for 10 years, I learned a lot. And so now that I have experienced that, I'm more firm now. I'm more firm to say, okay, I'm not dealing with that again. So before, and thank God, the guy that the Lord showed me, his parents are dead. Not trying to be funny, but, you know, praise God, I don't have to deal with that because his parents are dead. But yeah. I'm just not willing to deal with any in-laws. I'm not having it. And that's something that I would bring up to him. That's something I would bring up to him in the beginning. I would let him know, hey, your sisters, your whoever, I'm the woman of this house. So this is the one that's going to run this house. And you're the man of this house. And so you are going to run you're going to run this house. I'm not going to go by nothing my father says or none of that. We are going to be the ones to run the house. No in-laws. That's just it.
Well,
I'm not having it.
I heard that. I guess that's kind of like you looking at it from, you're not going to bring that is past experience with what you know into your future, because
right.
you know what to see, what to look out for, and that's pretty cool, you know what I'm saying, as far as you knowing that. But what if their mother, and you know what I'm saying, their mother and that son have that type of bond to where y'all are cool? Would you give it a chance, or would you still just keep it the way that it is because of that previous relationship?
I would speak to his mother. Me and his mother would have to talk.
Okay.
And as nice as I can put it, I would have to let her know, I am the woman of this household, and I'm not going to allow anyone to come in and, you know, destruct this household. I'm the only one that's going to have say-so. You know, I would have to tell her as nice as I can.
Right,
and
if
she don't understand that, then that's just something that she just going to have to deal with. But I'm not dealing with that nonsense, because that's, you know, if people allow their family to come into their marriages, that's what, that is something that kills marriage.
Right.
That's something that's
well, like Pastor Mo said earlier, I know the movie that that he was talking about when she got into the car accident, and you know, the mother-in-law was sitting at the door when he opened up the door, and you know, and he's like, I'm here, you know, and the relationship didn't do anything but go downhill because what I was speaking about, generational curses, where, you know, the mother went through so much turmoil that her heart is so hardened now, she can only see nothing but negativity. She can't see anything positive. So the only thing she's going to do is speak negative into a relationship. Well, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? You know, and it takes a strong woman, like what just Trina said, hey, I got to come to you and say, hey, no, this is not going to happen. You know, that this is my household. I am married. Out of two becomes one. Where do you come in at? They didn't say out of two become three. They didn't say out of two become four.
Amen.
He said one. So, but then again, it goes back down to reading and understanding your word, that's the only way that it can take precedence. When you take the word out of your everyday living and out of your marriage, then that's when you can see the decline of it. And in that movie, Not Easily Broken, that's what had happened. And the pastor had said that you have taken God out of the relationship because God was the third strand. So it's, you know, you can't do anything. Now, the reason why I say blueprint is because at least sometimes you can find a guidance on certain things, because we don't know everything. So you can find a guidance of saying, okay, well, let me try this approach because it worked for them. It may work for me as well. But as far as physically letting someone enter, you know, mingle in your relationship, no, I think you're doomed from the start. If you give them an inch, they'll take a mile.
Okay, that's a good one. Gerard, did you want to elaborate on that a little bit, or?
I got one thing to say. LB on fire. You dead on, man. It's right, man. A lot of people don't pay attention to that, man, because what he said is huge. And I think that those generation curses, they carry on because nobody sat down and prayed over them to get that out of there. You know, that can be, it is medication for generation curses. There's a stronghold, you know, that's what they call it. And it can be released, but if they don't want to release it, then it's like they using that to live their dreams through their baby, their daughters, their sons. So they try to get the things they never got to get a chance to accomplish, because they couldn't do it with their husband, so they'll live it through you. And that'll run you crazy. So, and that, like Sister Trina say, yeah, you got to put your foot down. You got to let people know, look, this is my tree. These are my roots. You know, you just a leaf. You know, leaves come out every spring and they blow out.
Wow.
Right.
You know, nothing is out.
Wow.
I think also with that generational curse thing, you know, Gerard, you have to look at as this. It could be also like a narcotic. You know, the first thing that they say in Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous is you have to admit that you have a problem. And the factor of how the generational curse keeps going on and on and on is because you do not even recognize that you have a problem. When you just start, and when it becomes just like eating, sleeping, using the bathroom, it's just normal. And you don't even take the time out to say, you know what, me going about this situation and me cussing my husband out all the time and me, you know, looking at the glass Then I got, and I was telling Dennis this the other day, I got this from Pastor Mo when he was counseling me and my child's mother. Do you look at the glass half empty, or do you look at the glass half full? Mm-hmm. And she sat up there and she said she looks at the glass half empty. And she was the one who said it. She said, I look at the glass. She says, I look at the glass half empty. He's the one who looks at the glass half full. But now, why does she look at the glass half empty? Because her mother always looked at the glass half empty. And her grandmother always looked at the glass half empty. And her mother's mother before then looked at the glass half empty. So this is something that has been embedded in them, especially as she's been around her grandmother. She's been around her mother. So now by them being in this whirlwind, she knows nothing. She knows it's wrong, but she's not willing to recognize and admit that she's wrong.
Mm.
It's a big step when you can admit that you're wrong and really truly try to get help in getting yourself on the right track. But that's only when you seek the right pastor, you know. I think they need to seek Pastor Mo on that one, though. But anyway.
But you gotta, I learned this as a maturing, God-fearing Christian, how to be a better Christian. And I learned that by standing still. And anytime you have a situation, even if it's dealing with anybody, in any circumstances, before you point the finger, always look in the mirror. Because it's something that you could have did better, regardless of who thought it was, to make that situation go a different way. So sometimes, before you point the finger, 75% of the problem could be you. Because she could have did something to you when y'all got married. And as soon as she walked through the door, you got attitude. And you could, you could just be popped. You know, as soon as she walks in the door, because you just probably just don't like her. You know what I'm saying? So if you'd have handled that situation different, maybe she won't retaliate the way she been retaliating to you. You know what I'm saying? So it's always good to look at self before we look at others. And you'll see that a lot of your problems could be self-inflicted.
Okay. I see you fellas, sisters, y'all making some nice little good valid points.
Amen.
And you gotta look at what's the, I guess to me it's the point of when do you know, when is enough is enough. Out of that situation, out of all you guys, what are you saying? So, you know, I guess I'm gonna turn it back over to Pastor Mo.
Well,
you know, Pastor Mo, they said some good things here, man. They, you know, they LB said he was talking about how the counseling has, you know, helped him see past, you know, some of the things that he was going through a generational curse. Brother Gerard was saying basically he was saying the same thing basically, but he was saying to the point to where it's, you got to look in the mirror first before you even say one word. And you know, I think that's going to be like, man, I don't think nobody will ever speak if, you know, if it got to be to that point. And Sister Trisha was just basically saying, you know, we got to lay down the laws that, you know, that no man, that nobody outside other than them two, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, should run a household, period. Shouldn't have no intakes. And that she was basically saying that, you know, she would have to sit down and talk with the mother if it comes down to that. Basically, got to sit down and talk with the mother and just let her know, like, hey, I'm still the head honcho. But look, we will consider. But, you know, it still stands between her and her husband. And they all made some really good, valid points there. So, you know, turn it on over to you, Pastor.
Praise God. Praise God. And I echo what Brother Gerard said, man. LB is on fire. He is on fire. And
yeah,
everybody is bringing points from different perspectives, which makes the round table fruitful. and interesting and helpful. And so what I want to do, I'm going to play this next clip. And after this next clip, I want to come back and let the round table go in. And I think LB already is hitting on it with the generational curse, if you will, that, you know, sometimes our in-laws, when we don't know their family history, we don't understand why they do or say the things that they do and say. And one thing Brother Gerard said was, even if you know their in-laws might be a little crazy, if you love that person, then it should not have any bearing on whether you get married to that person or not. And I think Sister Trina said that up front, she having that conversation with, you know, anybody who is seeking to take that relationship to another level, that, listen, our house is our house, and our house is not the public library where people can come in and be nosy. And that's basically what the library is where you can go in and look in the books and, you know, find information, find out information. That's what nosiness is, people trying to find out information. And so I'm going to play this clip, and then we want to come back and get the panel's response. Anybody want to call in? The number is 347-838-9106, and you'll be prompted to press the number 1 if you want to say something. If you haven't pressed the number 1 and you want to press it now, we'll bring you on to the panel. We would love to get your feedback.
Mama, is that a picture of Daddy?
Look at here.
So you still love him?
No. That's a piece of him I keep as a reminder that I made the right decision.
Do you miss him at all? Do you remember that cheerleading competition I won?
I remember all your accomplishments, Clarice. What you owe?
That was the same weekend Daddy left. All I remember you saying...
Don't start dredging up all that mess. That's good riddance to bad rubbish.
All I remember you ever saying to me was how he cheated on you and how he was a horrible husband. Never really got his side. Finally talked to Daddy, and he said that he never slept with that woman. He said you drove him out of the house, Mama. He didn't sleep with her until after he left.
I'm not having this conversation.
Why?
Because my bedroom drama with your daddy ain't none of your business.
Excuse me? The way you're all up in my marriage, you convinced me to put my husband out of my house. I think it is my business, Mama.
Don't talk to me like that. You want to know?
Yes.
Your daddy was rotten. You're too young to understand what was going on in that house, Clarice. He was a nasty bastard.
Mama.
Don't mama me. He hit me. Now you listen to me real good. When they stay, and they done already left, they get mean. I hated you,
Mom.
No, I hate him. I hate him. You were right to throw Dave's ass out of here before he hits you.
No. No, Dave, it's not like that. And that wasn't the way to handle that. I should have listened to you. I shouldn't have listened to you.
I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not. Black women have to be strong. And you know that.
I don't know what kind of pain you were holding on to in your heart, Mama, but you need to let it go. You need to just let it go. And in all your lessons about how I need to be strong and proud and independent, Mama, you left out some very important things.
What?
How to love, Mama. How to really care about somebody. How to forgive.
I cared about you. I loved you. Best I could. I gave you everything in me that he didn't take. And he took everything. Can't you see that?
I know you did, Mama.
And if that ain't good enough for you, then I'm sorry for you.
Mama, I'm so sorry for you. I didn't mean to come out here and disrespect you. I really did. But it's time for me to grow up. And I'm going to have to ask you to leave my house. Because I want my husband. I want my husband back. And I want to fight for my marriage. Because, Mama, I don't want to end up like.
We are back to the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis, along with our panel members. And we're talking about relationships. We're talking about in-laws and who are you really married to. In-laws can be helpful or they can be a problem in a relationship. And so the question becomes, are there some in-laws that give their support just to gain control of your relationship? Or are we making decisions? Are married people making decisions based on other voices that exist outside of the household? And those voices may have hidden agendas. Is unity even possible for all involved? And so we just heard the clip, and the end result was the daughter told the mother to get out of her house. She was the reason why she put her own husband out the house, because she listened to a woman scorned. She listened to a woman that was full of trauma and abuse and hadn't made peace with it. And so I'm going to go around. I got everybody's mic live again. I'm going to go around to the panel. And kind of get some feedback on that clip. I want to start with Sister Trina, then Brother L.B. and Gerard. Sister Trina, what do you think about what you just heard?
That is terrible. That is terrible. See, that's why her marriage was so messed up. Now, her mother jumped into her marriage to control her marriage because hers was jacked up. And what she went through, so she walked in the door bitter. And so when the husband came home with the wife, and she was like, get her on, bring her on in, I ain't going nowhere. He should have stood his ground and said, yes, you are. He should have went and repacked her stuff and put it at the door and sent her on her way, because he already had it under control. Now, being that her mother had hidden issues, that's a shame. And it's a lot of, and I'm pretty sure it's a lot of our parents that's got hidden issues, and they try to control our lives just by that. But, you know, that's a shame that, you know, that's crazy. That one right there, Pastor Mo, I'm going to be honest, that kind of caught me off guard, because, you know, when she said she put her husband out, her mother told her to put her husband out, and she did it. I was like, wow.
And we got to keep in mind that these are sensitive issues. Some people really love their parents to the point to where they don't feel like any information or feedback that their parents are giving them would be not of love. And so you kind of become naive because you want to believe that, you know, your parents are giving you the best information based on what's going on. But in essence, like she just learned, and she just had a moment of revelation that all of what her mama was doing, when she thought her mama was operating on her behalf, her mama was actually operating on her own behalf, destroying a relationship because her relationship was destroyed. So, wow. But come on, Brother LB, jump in there right quick, and then Brother Gerard.
Okay. I want to jump around and piggyback off of something Gerard said as far as looking in the mirror. And it all deals down to the same thing. The woman said that her husband, which was the child's father, had beat her. Looking in the mirror, I'm not advocating any man to put his hands on a woman. But in my case, everybody on this earth has a breaking point. I myself, it's only so much you can say to me as a man of integrity and knowing that I am trying to do the right thing before I snap, because I can only argue with you for so long. Then I'm on to phase two. Well, it's put up or shut up. And I'm saying this because sometimes, and this is whether men or women, try to constantly push another person's buttons in order to make that person react in that mannerism. Then once they react in that mannerism, then they want to be the victim. He hit me. He beat me. He's a horrible person. He's this, that, and the other. The person in the mirror never looked at themselves as pushing a situation too far. For she pushed the husband out the door, never looking at herself and what she did wrong. The only thing she seen was what she did right and what he did wrong, never looking in the mirror. So in turn, while the mother is there doing all of that, the daughter is never looking in the mirror and seeing what she is doing wrong, because the only thing she sees is what a generation has jumped over and told her, do this, do that. Never looking at themselves. We can always point the finger. And I told a young lady this the other day when I was talking to her or whatever, and she was telling me about her problems with her baby daddy. I said, well, let me ask you this question. Can you admit your wrongs, what you do wrong? I hear everything of what he's doing wrong. Tell me what you do wrong. Can you admit that? Can you look in the mirror at yourself and say, hey, I don't cook. I'm very fussy, or I do this, that, and the other. What is it that you do to contribute to a problem in the relationship? So, in turn, it gets bigger and deeper than just the in-law coming in, because you're taking on issues of other people. What they haven't even looked at themselves to see, hey, you know I got a problem. It may not be getting high. I got a problem with anger. I have a problem with not knowing how to show love. I have a problem with giving all my all in a relationship because I'm afraid of being hurt.
is looking in that mirror and saying, can you admit to your problems? And ultimately, in the clip that we just listened to, and that, for y'all who don't know or want to watch the whole movie, the movie is called Not Easily Broken. It's a TTX movie. But she was able to look in a mirror and see what she had done wrong. So she was able to correct it before it got way out of hand and they decided to say, let's go get a divorce and so on and so forth, because she was able to actually see what she was doing wrong. A lot of people are not fortunate in that arena because they only see themselves, and they've taken God out of the midst of that relationship. When you take God out of the midst of your relationships in your everyday life, when you're getting married or whether you're just everyday life, when you take God out of the midst of that relationship, then that's when you start to see that the devil is able to sneak in and work his magic. He's playing tricks, you know, I'm what's his name said, mind's playing tricks on me, you know, really, you know. My mind's playing tricks because why? I'm able to play with your mind now. I'm able to take you in any direction that I feel like. Any direction. Because of the simple reason why you took God out of the midst of it.
And like you said earlier, in that movie, there's a part where a little boy dies and they go to the funeral, and her husband had taken a liking to another woman because she had pushed him away. And as she was, the wife was sitting in church, the pastor took the opportunity to talk to her. And he said exactly what you're saying, that, you know, when they got married, there was a third strand that held their relationship together, and that was God. And what happened was when they took God away, the relationship fell apart. So we talked about that in the foundation that we talked about in the commentary, is that if your relationship doesn't have a foundation, then any and everything moving has an opportunity to shape your relationship, and because it's not on a solid foundation, and you wind up having problems year after year after year after year, talking to people who don't have a foundation themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we, you know, to move forward, you need to have that solid foundation. Not that problems ain't going to come. Problems going to come. That's going to happen. I don't care how much money you got, how much money you don't got. Problems are going to come up in relationships, period. It's been that way from the beginning of a relationship. And so, the question becomes, how, when we know that things are going to come up, you know, we got to get our foundation right. And without that, you know, we're looking for problem after problem, and then our relationships start looking like one of these talk shows. And, you know, you done slept with this person cousin, or you done slept with their best friend, and, you know, all type of stuff has an opportunity to come in because you wasn't built on a solid foundation. Brother Gerard, you wanted to jump in there and give some feedback?
Oh, yeah. Count it all joy. I love it. Hey, Jesus was speaking in the synagogue, and I was taught and told that Jesus loves everybody. That's why he died on the cross. So when Jesus was speaking in the synagogue, man blurted out of context, real bold and nasty, you know, saying nasty things. God had to reach out and told that man, say, you know what? I love you, but you demon, you get out of there. You know, and that demon jumped out of that man's body and fled that man's body, and he was made whole. I think a lot of times that when we talk to our significant others, parents, or our own mothers and fathers, we as Christians need to strengthen our minds, to recognize the difference between worldly problems and spiritual problems. And when our parents tearing our house down like that, that's a spiritual thing. And they know they got an issue, the parent. And they use that power of being your parent to do damage. So at those times, we need to be like, Mom, you know why I love you? But I'm going to talk to that demon that you're fighting and tell her, look, you need to step down. The one who haven't sinned cast the first stone. You act like you never sinned before. And then she's going to have to be quiet because that word going to beat her down. That's how you get that. You stand them up. So you're not disrespecting your mama. You talking to that demon in your mama or your daddy. And then she's like, wait a minute. And you speak just, with aggression and confidence. And tell her, look,
Gerard,
you need to stand down.
Brother Gerard, not to cut you off, I promise you, I just did that to my mother and father. Not even, what day was that, Dennis, we was talking, that was Saturday. I just did it to my mother and my father Saturday. Just did it to them. Enough is enough. You are 110% correct. I said, enough is enough. I'm drawing the line right now.
And you tell them you love them before you tell them that. And he says, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm not disrespecting you. But you got to tell them that. I'm talking to that demon you fight. And I'm going to tell this demon, look, stand down. And I'm going to tell her why. And I'm going to quote it behind a scripture and show her why. And then I'm going to let it go. But you don't spend a lot of time on that. You don't spend 2-3 hours on trying to convince them to believe or get it right, because they might not get it right now, because that demon's going to be mad. It's going to bounce back. But you just keep hitting it with that word, and after you finish, you wipe your feet and you leave. They get it? Because you planted the seed.
I said what I said to him, and I left her for the whole day. I waited about a couple of days, and then I called her back on Monday, and I apologized to her, but I said, I meant what I said. I said, at the end of the day, I'm doing what I need to do in order for me to excel. I'm not doing what you need me to do, because what you need me to do is not working for me. So you are 110% correct.
Amen. The glory to his name.
Now let me ask this, Sister Trina. Let me ask this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, and we know the answer, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway, and I want everybody to kind of respond to this. When issues in our relationships come up, are they worldly issues, or regardless of what the issue is, it's a spiritual fight, because a marriage is ordained by God, which makes a marriage in itself spiritual. And this is why I don't understand how people who don't believe in God get married. That just doesn't make sense. If why would you want to participate in something that God himself originated? Why would you even want to be a part of it if you don't believe in the originator? So if marriages are ordained by God, which he puts his stamp on it, it's a fellowship, it's a holy matrimony, it's a fellowship, then are issues, or when issues come up, are they all spiritual, or could they be worldly?
I think when issues come up
in a marriage, right?
In a marriage. If 9 times out of 10 is probably something that's stupid, that's from the past. So I'm gonna be honest, before that man or woman get married, they need to get on their knees and pray and ask God to help them not to bring that junk into their marriage. Because, you know, because it's unfair to bring that mess into your new marriage. That person wasn't there when that crap happened in your past, so why take it out on them? That's unfair. And so a lot of those arguments I believe, happened from the junk that happened in the past. And that's why God tells us to stay out of the past. And so that's...
But are they, for example, if we are, you know, we just got married.
Right.
And say 6 months into the marriage, the mother, your mother comes over and says, you know what, I know y'all picked out furniture, but I tell you what, I'm gonna buy furniture for the whole front room. And we'll get this furniture to the Salvation Army. Now, this is a good gesture. However, she never took into account maybe your husband liked that furniture. Maybe that's the type of furniture he liked. But we're gonna change, and then you go along with it. Is that a spiritual issue that need to be dealt with, or is that something that's just worldly that came up in the relationship?
That's worldly, Pastor Mo, because, like I said, the husband and wife is the one that's over the household. So I don't care who it is, mother, father, brother, sister. They family members should not be able to come in and say anything. Thank you for the nice gesture, but no thank you. Because if I wanted you to buy my furniture, I would have had you with me when I was picking it out. So no thank you. That's not, not having it. Absolutely. Not having it. And I love my mom. I love my mom with all my heart. I love my dad with all my heart.
You hit it right on. We love our people. And so sometimes it makes it hard to go against what they are saying, because we feel that because they're saying it, they must love us and they must know something that we don't know. And they're trying to protect us. And so it's hard to say, you know what, hold up, you know, we picked this furniture out, we're newlyweds, my husband or my wife liked this furniture, even though this is a good gesture. Lord have mercy here. Good gestures can create negative consequences in the household. And that's another trick of the enemy, where he will use people in a helpful way, which will cause all type of chaos in the relationship, because later on, now you saying, well, my mama bought this furniture. When you leave, you ain't taking nothing in this house. Nothing in this house belongs to you. And so it causes, in the long run, more chaos than it would if, like you said, if the household just remained between the husband and the wife. Now,
I think a lot of married couples go through a lot of things because they allow this stuff to happen. They allow this stuff to come in. But if you do not allow this stuff to come, I mean, for crying out loud, we are not kids. We are adults. You know, it's not two kids that just got married. It's two adults. So a lot of the stuff that they go through is because they have allowed their in-laws, their family members to come in. If you want your marriage to work 100%, you just have to keep your family out. Because, see, my brother, him and his wife, they've been together for a long time. And this is my brother on my father's side. And his sisters on his mother's side got mad at his wife and said they was going to jump on his wife. And he said, you're not going to touch my wife. And I was like, that's something that you should, that I was proud of him for saying that, because he stood up for his wife. So men and women in the marriage, they should stand up for each other no matter what. You know, all that argument and stuff is because they allow stuff to come in. Like a man that's, I say a preacher. Now, if a preacher, if he cheated on his wife, he allowed the devil to come in from something that he was doing, something he was watching, something, he allowed that spirit to come in. So when married couples allow certain spirits to come in, they get what they get. But they have to, you know, they have to stand their ground and stop it from coming in. No. That's just that. Don't allow stuff in your house. If you don't want it happening, don't allow it in there.
Okay. All right. And so it is spiritual. Anytime things get in the way of something God has ordained, that's a spiritual warfare. And Paul talked about that as we have to put on the whole armor of God, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. So it's not a flesh and blood warfare when it comes to God. It's a spiritual warfare. And you can't fight spiritual warfares with earthly defenses.
You got that right.
And so you got to have a solid foundation to fight back with.
You need five, Jack.
You know, to fight back with. Brother Dennis, you want to jump in right there?
No, he comes to the brother's ride. Give me five.
Man, I'm getting over here fired up, talking to myself to my phone on mute. And I'm thinking I'm talking, and I'm like, why ain't he hearing me? Mute myself out. Yeah, because what the big thing is behind the man is, go back to what I was saying, is, you know, we got to mature ourselves as Christians and knowing to be able to recognize when there's a spiritual problem and when there's a worldly problem. In that, it don't matter who it is, mother, father, whatever, you know, that need to get that discipline. You know what I'm saying? Police officers have a responsibility when they hit the street and when to pull their gun out and when they don't pull their gun out. That word is a powerful weapon. So you got to know when to pull that trigger. So if you don't have that discipline and learning and reading and praying and having that relationship with God, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And your parents gonna be able to pull that problem because they know we punks. It's as simple as that. You know what I'm saying? And until you be able to mature enough to recognize what's your domain and what's their domain, you know, when you really get mature enough, you'll be able to smell it coming before she even starts. And right when you smell it cooking, you can cut off like, nah, you know what? Nah, let's change the subject. You know. But when you ain't mature enough to catch it, she gonna plant a seed, but now you're in a position where something is said and done, you're defending yourself, and you arguing, and you cussing at each other. And when you do that, like Sister Trina said, that's how demons come in, because they're to go from, let me talk to you about God, and to, what you just called me? You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, and pride kick in. And pride is the devil's grandson. So when that pride kick in, you already know you're going to do something that's not biblical or say something, you know? So you got to avoid that, you know? You got to stay calm. If John the Baptist would have kept his head and calmed down, he would never get his head cut off. So over there talking crazy in jail. His mouth got sideways. What Jesus at? I did all this for him. What name you talking about he got? You know what I'm saying? And he got sideways. You got to watch your tongue. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, when people come to you and your mother, daddy, you know, and it's hard because that love show up first and the discipline show up first, and then you're like, wait a minute. You know, you're wrong. What you mean you're wrong? How dare you talk to me like that? And so she's like, in a little clip, and she's like, are you talking to me like that?
She said, no, mother, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, I'm talking to you like that, my mom. You sideways. Let me explain to you why. And John, or in James, you know, and break that thing down. And then if she God-fearing, she'll get it. But if she's not God-fearing, then you got a whole different other problem. Because you're trying to feed a kid castor oil. They're going to spit it out.
Amen. Now, listen, we got a couple of people that want to get on that done called in. Brother Dennis, you want to go ahead and jump in right there?
Well, basically, I was just going to say is, man, even though if you look at it up today, I think right now our in-laws are the cell phones, text messaging. It's a third party there because... You and I want y'all to understand where I'm coming from with this is. Instead of communicating verbally, like how we all talking now, we got to text it to your significant other. And that's an in-law. Yeah, because it's a third-party conflict. Now you two are disagreeing on a a cell phone. So, you know, it's just so many things. Go ahead.
I think, Dennis, you hit the nail on the head on this one here. I was just saying this the other day to my lady. I said, you know, emailing and texting have taken the place of common communication. And what I mean by that is when I'm able to communicate with you, like we're doing here, even over the phone, I'm able to pick up a certain spiritual being of yourself, a spiritual aura of yourself through the conversation on how you actually mean what you're saying. I can see the certain emphasis that you put on certain words, so on and so forth. Here we are as a people, we're getting so detached from wanting to deal with people on a regular basis that we feel that we have to, I don't want to have to say anything to them, so I just send in an email or I just send in a text. And you're not actually getting the real feeling from that person. So we do these things, and it's like almost like second nature where we will do them instead of saying, hey, you know, and I have to, you know, I catch people all the time, hold on. Don't text me. Call my phone. I tell you actually how I feel. I'm not going to send it through a text message. So you're reading and then you got to come back with, oh, no, I want you to really feel how I feel. Whether it's something good or whether it's something bad. I still want you to see how I feel. And we come becoming in this computerized technological era. We have removed all of that because now what are you doing? You're not adding any feelings to it. The only thing you're doing is sending out some words.
Yep.
You're not even adding feelings to it.
Right. Well, yeah, that was the main, well, you hit it. That was the main grip because it comes with the disagreement, the conflict, the relationship that you built with your phone. you know, and them in-laws, you know, the laws that y'all have inside that house, in-laws, that's what play another role where you got to go back to where it stands with the biblical standpoint, where you got to meet face-to-face and go verbally. But LB had, you know, you took it away. And that's pretty cool. You know, everybody got the standpoint. That's why I was trying to cover with it. But go ahead, Pastor, you back on. You good.
Now, listen. We have had a real good dialogue around the issue of relationships, and we down to the last minutes here, and some things that I've heard that if somebody is listening who might be dealing with in-laws who, you know, might be good in-laws or they might be bad in-laws, in-laws that are trying to control the relationship, in-laws that are trying, they was mad that you got, you know, married to this person, so they trying to do everything they can now to, you know, ensure that you guys are separated. And so I just want to say to the panel, that everybody was hitting it right on. Anytime an issue come up in a relationship, you cannot handle that issue in a worldly way. In the movie, the wife tried to handle getting her husband's attention when she finally came to herself that she had lost him, that he didn't pay attention to her anymore. His body was in the house, but his mind was somewhere else. She tried to get his attention in a worldly way. She tried to romantically get him back into her. And that's not a way of handling issues that come up in a marriage because that worldly way of getting somebody's attention only lasts for minutes, if that. But the way you can get somebody's attention and to solve a problem or correct a problem in a marriage has to be through God. And so she finally recognized that, and at the end of the movie, and I recommend people watch this movie. It's a good therapeutic movie. There is some cursing in it. However, it's still a good therapeutic movie for mature people, and a lot of good points in there that can help you in your current marriage. And whenever you want to turn a movie, a regular movie, into a therapeutic movie, all you have to do is find certain points of the movie that hit your issue and then stop the movie, pause it, and then have a conversation around it. The Lion King is a good therapeutic movie. There are a lot of good therapeutic movies in which you can get some good stuff out of, but the way you make it therapeutic is you don't watch it all the way through. You get to that point, stop it, have a conversation around it, and then see how the rest of the movie plays out. And that's called playing it forward, where you can kind of take an issue in your own life and play it forward. Okay, if we start arguing at 2 o'clock, what are the odds that we stop arguing by 7 in time to pray? You know, if we start arguing about finances, will that argument lead to me leaving the house for the night? If I leave the house for the night, what type of issues am I going to have when I come back home? And so when you start playing it forward and you start seeing all of the ways that the enemy can tear at your relationship, you start seeing the importance of having a foundation, a good foundation. And you can't handle issues that come up in your relationship in a worldly way. It has to be handled with a power that is stronger than you or us. And so our foundation has to be God. Now, we had two or three other callers that are with us right here, and they couldn't get in today. But what I want to do, I want to tell these callers to, they'll be the first two next Thursday, or you can call in on Wednesday with the conversation with Brother Case and Dennis Live, or you can call in on Fridays or Thursdays, or you can call in on Fridays or even on Saturday. But we kind of had a good conversation tonight, and I know it wouldn't do you justice to bring you in with only a minute left. So I promise you, if you call back next week, you'll be the first two to get on and voice your opinion about the topic next week. Brother Dennis, I want you to close us out here with your final comments. I'm excited because I believe somebody got help today. I believe by hearing those mm-hmm. scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, 22 and 25, giving instructions to women and giving instructions to men. Women, give yourself. Men, love your women. And then Christ is at the back of each of that. So go ahead, Brother Dennis.
Well, basically, man, I believe that everybody was blessed today. You know, everybody got the message from different point of views, and that's the good thing about it. Even when you broke it down in a biblical way, and then it still, you still broke it down to how people use it in, you know, today's term. And I like the fact of that we did finally get a chance to get a female's point of view on these shows. You know, it kind of balanced out today. So those are my things, man, that I can really say that we had fun. I can't wait to do it again next week.
Praise God, praise God. Next week, 7:30, all the programmers on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are 7:30 to 9:30, and then on Saturday from 4 to 6. Thank you for joining us, and God bless you.
Yeah.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster every Wednesday at 7:30. Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com